22 years, is that right? And Steve Kim served in China for
16 years.
And so they're going to come today from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock today as we study unreached people groups and really as a church how we can impact the ends of the earth, which we're called to do. The Great Commission has been given to us to do that. So would you guys share with us what that looks like and maybe a little bit of what we have to expect later on today?
All right, we're going to show the video clip. See the pictures and video clips. That's where I used to live for 13 years, and then later 3 years of time in Taiwan. Hello, my name is Steve Kim. I am Korean. I was born and raised in Seoul, Korea, and my whole family with 2 older sisters immigrated to Vancouver, Canada back in 1988. After graduation from high school, we came down to the States, getting so much blessing from this country. Not just materially, spiritually, in every sense. And when I took a short-term trip to China back in 1999, the Lord called me to go back to Asia to share the blessing that I received in North America. So, my family and I lived there doing church planting, and with other organizations, we were able to plant some churches. Today, at 2:35, I'll be sharing my testimony. It'll be about an hour. You guys are welcome to come and join us, and it's 2 to 6 o'clock, so it's pretty long, but then you can pick and choose which section you want to come. But it's my honor to be here. In out of nowhere, the Korean person is standing here. I haven't seen any Asian face, you know, so far. I got here last Friday, so far. So I'm so glad, you know. This is what Lord is doing. You know, He can mix everything and send out in His perfect time. And my brother Steve is going to share about more detail about today's event.
Thank you, Steve. So. Yes, I'm Steve Weems. I'm from the Shreveport, Louisiana area, but now we live. Is it okay? You hear me okay? All right. And now we live in Fresno, California. Our team, there's 4 of us here today, 2 right here, 2 are doing something else right now. But the 4 of us are here to continue what was started back in November with our UPG 101 conference. But I just wanted to mention to you just a couple of little things about why we do what we do. We're called the Church Missions Consulting Team of OMF. Please, next. And. I guess I should have gotten a little clicker or something like that. Okay, go ahead. And so just imagine for a moment that this is your church. Your church doesn't look like this, but just imagine. Go ahead. And so you know that Acts 1:8 tells us that that the gospel was to be going from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let's say this church wanted to have that kind of an impact on the world, both here as well as around the world. So the here part of it is the part that's the local expression of making disciples. It's not just being kind to people. You know, kind people, there are going to be kind people who are not going to be with Jesus at the end times, because those people will not have ever trusted in Christ. They will not have bent their knee to him. But so we don't just be kind. We want to share the good news. And so that happens locally, but then also globally. So when we go to those places in other parts of the world, then we take that same message, and we're going to take it to the ends of the earth. Then keep going. But what we're looking for, though, is transformed communities. Transformed communities are places where God's mercy and justice are understood by people, where there's a care for the poor people, care for widows and orphans. There's translated Bibles. There's the good news being preached. There's good jobs, loving churches. There's a sense of being that the gospel has made an impact on a community. So you expect that here, because if the gospel has made an impact on this community, we'd love to see that happening in every community around the world. So one of the ways we do that, then, is that we have a process that we help a church with. And as we do, we're trying to say, okay, so as a church, we'll just keep going there. Okay, so we try to help people to think about it like this. Everybody in the church has a part to play. So your part may be learning, just learning about what's out there. Learning, that's what we're going to be doing today at 2 o'clock. So learning is one step. A second thing, though, is once you've learned, you might want to then begin to pray more than you've ever prayed before for the people around the world that don't yet know the good news. And you might want to be able to send workers. You might figure out, oh, I could do more than I ever thought. It doesn't have to be just money. I can figure out some other things I could do. Or you might be thinking about doing something yourself, going and doing something. Or you might be thinking about the idea of welcoming some local people. You might have met some Burmese or the... you might meet some people who are Muslim in the area, and you want to know. Somebody was sharing about how her doctor is Muslim. And so, you know, you could be sharing with your doctor and talking to him and asking him about what they know about Jesus. But then what we're looking at then is around, and what we help churches to do is we look for like a 360. So, in other words, don't just send them. Don't just get to be part of that, like just the praying part. But then what is it going to be like to train your people? Train them well. So when you train your people, then that means you're going to do some research. You're going to have to figure out what some local connections are, and you're going to partner with other organizations. That's the kind of stuff we do to come alongside churches, and we feel like it's a real privilege to be here to do that with your church. Thank you very much, Pastor Chad, for letting us have that privilege. And right now, I'd like to pray for you, if that's okay. Lord Jesus, it's been a privilege already this morning to be with Sunday school, particularly with the young people. Great opportunity to be with them and to see some great kids already saying, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And I'm praying that that's true of not only the kids in this church, but the old people in this church and everywhere in between. That when people have said in this church, they're saying yes to Jesus, they're saying yes to Jesus for whatever you're calling us to do. So I pray that they would continue to do that, that there would be a sense of saying, Lord, those people over there, they may not be like us. We would never meet them in this lifetime, but we want them to know the same joy, the same peace that we have. We don't want them to miss out on that. And so, Lord, I pray this church would be the kind of church that does whatever it takes to see that happen. The power of the Holy Spirit and the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Steve and Steve. We did that on purpose so you don't have to learn so many names. Just kidding. I'm super excited about today. If you were able to be at the conference that we had, the first one, you will know and realize how important that is, just talking to people after the first one. So many people have said, I had no idea that there were that many people who have never heard of the name of Jesus. And we know biblically in Romans chapter 1 that everyone who stands before God will stand guilty and will be without excuse because they have known God and they've rejected God. And so because of that, if we believe that Jesus is God, rose from the dead, then we must believe that he has a plan to use you and I to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. I think so many times that's such a far-fetched idea to us that the things that you and I do here can impact the ends of the earth. But I want you to just look around. Here we are gathering together in a church building on the other side of the world where it all started. It has reached us, right? And so now we can believe and know that the gospel can also extend in the same way as it reaches the ends of the earth. So you are called to be a part of that. I am called to be a part of that. And so please consider coming today, regardless of of where you're at in this journey to at least learn how you can be a part of praying that God's will, his plan would be fulfilled as it pertains to the end of the earth. All right? So come today at 2. If you can't be here all day, I know 4 hours is a long period of time, but if you can't be here that full time, just come for what you can. And I'm telling you, you'll be blessed by that. We got to meet last night with the team and to hear some of the stories that they're going to be sharing today. And I'm telling you, you will be blessed. You will be encouraged by that. And so we are excited. If you have your Bibles, open with me to 1 John chapter 1. We began this study last week as we looked at John and really what who he was. He's a brother of James, one of the other disciples. He's also part of the inner circle of Jesus. He got to see and experience things that only a few of them did. He is writing this letter really to tackle some false teaching that is happening amongst the church. This letter would have been passed around to several different churches, and but he is writing it really to tackle and to bring some truth that they can stand on. Some of the false teaching was saying things like that, you know, Jesus couldn't have been human and also God because matter is evil, and anything that that takes up space and can be weighed is evil. So therefore, Jesus could not have been human. But this goes directly against both what Jesus has said and even what John starts off saying. Listen, I've seen, I've touched, I've been there, I've been with him, I've seen it all, I put my hands upon, he is and was human. And as we continue, we'll see some of the things that he begins to make right. And so today, we will dive in. Starting today and over the next couple of weeks, we're going to see that he talks much about the walk of a Christian. If you would look with me at verse 6, he says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." So he uses the word walk here. He also uses it in chapter 2, verse 6. We see, "Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked," talking about Jesus. We'll unpack that a little bit more. But then even in verse 11 of chapter 2, he says it again, "But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness." So we must define this word walk because he is trying to help us to understand that if we claim something but our walk is different, then it is contrary to what we claim. And so walk, if you were to define it with me or to understand what he's trying to talk about, walk could be defined as the way that I live my life. And so now, if we plug that in to the verses, is the way that I live my life, then he is saying that if you and I say that we have fellowship with him while we live our lives, or the way we live our lives is in darkness, then we lie and do not practice the truth. But if the way that we live our life is in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. We've experienced that the blood of Christ has cleansed us from all sin. Or, chapter 2, verse 6, whoever says that they abide in him or remains in him or walks with him, has fellowship with him, ought to live their life in the same way in which he lived his life. Do you see the difference now as we try to understand? It is the way in which we live our lives, and this is what he's talking about. So our walk should match our talk, right? The way in which we live our life should be an evidence of what we believe. They should match up. And I would say that much of the unbelieving world looks upon the church and has great accusations against if that doesn't match up. And rightly so. If they look upon us and they see hypocrisy, which there will always be an element of that because we are not perfect, but if they see that even the desires, or they don't see much difference in our lives, then you see how it casts a much different message than what we've been called to present. So this is a vital understanding that we must have. And so as we dive in, we will see. So just in honor of the Word of God, if you don't mind standing as we read, this is God's Word. It is not our own. And so we want to honor it as such. We will start in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim it to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We ask, Lord, as we dive into these verses, that You would give us clear understanding. We pray that as we try to understand what our fellowship with You looks like, that we would realize the joy, the abundance of life that You have called us to. Help us, Lord, to desire to be like You, to look like You. And so lead and guide us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Here we see Him say that God is light. God is light. This is one of three times that we see in Scripture where it says that God is something. The first is found in John, the same writer, John chapter 4, verse 24. He says that God is spirit. We see in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, where He says that God is love. We'll get that to that here in a little while, once we get to chapter 4. But here we see that where He says God is light. Now, as He's talking about that God is light, He also begins to talk about our fellowship. And I just want, before we even dive in, I just want you to understand that one of the things that I've learned throughout my life as a follower of Christ is that my fellowship with God has a direct tie to the way in which I live my life. If my fellowship with God is hindered, then that affects everything in life. So in other words, that our lives is a direct overflow either of the abundance of our fellowship with God or the lack thereof. And it's evidence to that. My fellowship with God impacts everything. It impacts my ability to overcome sin, have victory over sin. It impacts my ability to endure in the face of temptation. It affects my ability to be the husband that Lindsay needs me to be, or the father that my girls need me to be, or the pastor that you need me to be. All of that is directly tied to my fellowship with God. And so today, as we dive in, we want to seek to understand that. And we do so in understanding that our relationship and fellowship are completely different. So, for instance, I am the father to my three girls. I will always be their dad. Doesn't matter what they choose. It doesn't matter what they do. They will always be my girls, right? I am their father. But the fellowship can be hindered, and it is hindered often. And I want you to see that when fellowship is hindered, it's usually because they've done something or I've had to correct or discipline, and so therefore it's hindered in some way. Usually it's not because I want it to be, and so a lot of times I'm waiting on them to repent or to understand or to grab an understanding so that then they come back into close fellowship. I have a house full of females, so you could imagine where these things can happen, where there is something that's said that hits that feeler and, oh, here comes the emotions, right? And so I've got to be careful, and I've got to nurture that, and I want them to understand. But here's the thing I want us to see is that as a father, I'm flawed. And so there'll be times I'll need to apologize. But we have a heavenly Father who is not. He is faithful. He is good. His ways are better than our ways. When He corrects, it's in the correct way, at the correct time, and for the correct reasons, right? Every time. And so what I mean by this is if my girls and when my girls understand that I love them and I have the best in store for them, the quicker they can come to that realization, the better it is that they will then better the fellowship. Are you tracking with me? But if they don't believe that I have the best, like if I have not been trustworthy in helping them to see that I have the best in mind for them, well, then they'll feel like we're at odds. And so when I correct them, they'll think I'm against them. And so you see how, as men and as parents, how important it is for us to do so in a way to help our kids to understand that we have the very best for them. And so when we look at our Heavenly Father, we know He has the best in mind for us, that He came to set us free, to seek and to save the lost. He came that we would have a life and have it abundant. He came that we would have joy and that the joy would be complete, right? So we can trust Him that when He is our Father and we are His children, that there is this clear picture that any time that fellowship is hindered, it's on our end. It's because we've allowed something to come into the way. Now, in every single follower of Christ, the relationship is the same. Don't miss this. You and I are just alike, exactly alike in our standing before God. If you are a believer in Christ, you've been set free, then that means you are a child of God. Jesus says it this way, I think it's John 17, I believe verse 23. He says that he's praying for his disciples and he says, I pray that they would understand that you love them as much as you love me. Jesus said that we would understand that God loves us as much as he does Jesus. When I served with Walker, he would put it this way, that I am my Father's favorite child. I love that. And so relationally, we have a relationship with God. It's the same. You're a child of God. I'm a child of God. There's no one that relationally is in a better standing. Each one of us are the same. You understand? We've been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. We have been loved. We have been brought into the family. He has adopted us. He has called us His own. What a beautiful picture. We don't have time to unpack all of that, but I want you to see. We have the same relationship, but our fellowship is different. Your walk with the Lord and your strength in the Lord, your ability to put faith in Him is based upon your fellowship. It's based upon the time that you spend, the faith and the belief that you have in Him, the promises that you stand on. Do you see that? And so, in the way of fellowship, we're all at different places. And He desires that we know Him and trust Him and walk with Him and abide in Him. And so let's dive in. A couple of questions that I want to ask today is, how do you, or who do you have fellowship with? Who do you have fellowship with? Here, he says, look with me at verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Fellowship with Him. Who's the Him? Well, in the way of context, he's talking about God. God is light, and so he's talking about the Father here. But we know, if you would hold your place here and turn with me to John chapter 1. John, the same writer here, he's talking about, he introduces us to the Gospel of John, and listen to how he describes. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So he's not talking about God the Father here, he's talking about Jesus. In the beginning, Jesus was with God and He was God. He goes on to say, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Isn't that a beautiful picture? So he's calling us to have this relationship with God. He's calling us to have a relationship to where we walk and abide as Jesus told his disciples that we abide and hold on to the vine and that we get our life and power through him. But he says that God is light. This is beautiful. I wish we had more time. We could spend weeks talking about what it means to say that God is light. But just to give you a couple of them, the first one is he talks about that the God being light is His glory. Moses goes up on the mountain as he's leading the Israelites, and he asks God, he goes, God, will you show me your glory? And so God spoke to him, which is amazing, right? God even spoke to Moses, but he spoke to him, and he says, you cannot look upon my face and live. So therefore, with his hand, he covered him up, put him in the cleft of a rock. He passed by, and as he passed by, he removed his hand where Moses could see just the backside of God and his glory. Now Moses receives the Ten Commandments. He comes down. He doesn't even know it. But as the people see him, they're afraid, because what happened is that he radiated the glory of God from his face. And so light we see is the glory of God. It's not only here, but even Jesus gave a glimpse of his glory in the Transfiguration. John was included in this, and he saw part of it. This is Matthew 17, even saying that he is the light of the world. There was one time we had a small group meeting in our house, and a guy had come to church that morning for the first time, so we had invited him over. I think maybe I've shared this story before, but he came to our house, and I was sharing, and before I even began to teach, he pulled me to the side, and he asked me, and he says, "Hey, Chad, you know, I've never really been to church, but you talked about eternal life this morning. Man, what does that mean? You mentioned something about being saved." He goes, "Man, I'd really like to be forgiven of my sins." And, you know, I was like, "God, you really threw me up a softball here, right?" I mean, and so I shared the gospel with him, and I told him, I said, "You know, I just believe that God will speak to you in such a way that you know it's God. You know, no one has to talk you into anything." And so I kind of left it with that. And so as I began to lead the discussion that night, I opened the Word and taught. He left, but not very long after leaving, he called me and he said, "Chad, what happened tonight?" I was like, "What do you mean?" And he says, "When you began to read from the Bible," he says, "behind you was this bright light all the way around you." He goes, "What was that?" And I said, "It's because I'm holy." I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. No, I just pointed. I said, "Well, you know, God is going to, I told you that God would speak to you in a way that you know." I said, "I don't know what light you saw or anything else, but I just know that God speaks to us to where we would not doubt. We would know that it is him. And so maybe this is what God was speaking to you." So he came back over to my house. We talked some more. I opened, showed him scripture, and we knelt down on our knees at my couch, and he surrendered his life to the Lord. But I want you to know that when we talk about God being light, it's literally his glory. He is good, and he shows us. But we also see that it's knowledge of God, knowledge of the gospel. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking, writing this letter, and he talks about the little god, or Satan, the god of this world, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they wouldn't see the light of the gospel. And so the light can also be this realization or opening of the eyes and understand truth and knowledge of what God has done for us, that he loves us, that he has a plan for us, and that we can trust him. And so we see that it is the knowledge of God. We also see that it is holiness. In Isaiah chapter 6, it talks about the angels being around the throne singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Talks about our conduct, and that not only is he holy, all holy, but he's called us to be holy as well. And so our lives should look like him. And in Ephesians 5, 8, and 9, it says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good, right, and true." You see, Jesus, and throughout the Bible, we're called to be holy because he is holy. Remember, as we will get to chapter 2, if we claim to walk with him, then our life will look like Jesus. We're to walk as Jesus walked. And when we do that, he was holy. He lived his life in holiness. We are called to as well. So we see that it is the glory of God, the knowledge of God, the holiness of God all points to him being light, no darkness at all. I love that. Second question I have, and we'll be done, is how is my walk? How is your walk? If you claim to have a relationship with him, how is your walk? I get to talk to people all the time about their walk with the Lord. I remember my grandpa was dying. He got to this point where he wouldn't eat, and so I remember going to visit him at a nursing home, and they brought lunch in, and so I sat down, I'm helping him get food to his mouth, and I remember after he took the first bite, chewed it up, he swallowed it, and he looked at me, and he said, "Now what?" was done. He didn't want to live anymore. And so as I began to talk to him about the gospel and share with him how much God loves him, he looked at me and he said, yeah, me and God, we've had our talks. I have no idea what he meant by that. I asked him, well, explain that. Well, we have an understanding. What does that mean? I mean, do you believe in God? Do you have this belief? Good. Even the demons believe, and at least they shudder knowing that he is holy and that he has all authority. You see, it's more than just saying, I have this belief, or yeah, me and God have our thing, or the man upstairs. Whatever. No, no, no. You need to understand who he is. How is your walk? Would you have this fellowship with him? In other words, you have this relationship in such a way to where you're being changed by the power of his Spirit. Are you walking with him in such a way that, man, his desires start to become your desires? I mean, even showing this video of China, when you look at those people, do you desire that they come to know the Lord because they're made in the exact same image of God that you are? We're not any more blessed than them. God loves them and has a desire for them as much as he does us. We are just blessed to be born in a place that there's knowledge of the gospel. We didn't do anything to be born here. So what I'm saying is that when we understand what he is calling us, who he is, and that, man, how then is my walk? How is my fellowship with him? I was came across, as I was reading this week, a guy had explained it this way. If we claim to have this faith or claim to walk with him, but yet we walk in darkness, he says we lie. And he described it as, if we walk in darkness, no matter what you say you believe, if you walk in darkness, you are practically living as an atheist. In other words, if you walk in darkness, you are walking, or the way you live your life is as though he doesn't exist or as though he didn't die for you. Practically speaking, the way you live your life, you're an atheist. Doesn't matter what you say, believe, or even going to church doesn't determine that. Do you look like the world? Do you walk in darkness? Are we not called to be light? Salt of the earth, light of the world? We're only light because of the light that has been in us. Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit is that have been placed there to allow the light of life to then live in and through us. To walk in the light. To walk in such a way to where his glory is clearly seen. The knowledge of him is lived out in our life. The holiness is there. So that means we live our life in fellowship with God. A word that you've heard me say over and over since I've been here is this word abide. You're going to see it again here in 1 John. But we're to abide. We're to remain. We're to be in fellowship with God. And so what does that look like? Doesn't just happen on Sundays. It happens on Mondays and Tuesdays. So, kids, when you go to school, you go to school and you're in fellowship with Christ. You walk with him. And so that would determine what you say, what kind of conversations you're in, whether or not you're cheating off that cheat sheet that's being passed around, whether or not you're involved in bullying like everyone else. You see how it changes. Yes, that's what it's supposed to do. Adults, as we go to work, we're in fellowship with Christ. Some of you teachers, you go to work and you're fellowship with Christ, and so you don't see your job as just educating kids, but pointing them to the light of life. And when they come into your room, that there is a peace that they don't know where it comes from, and they see that example in your lives. When you go to work, it determines on what you do, and you work as though you're working for the Lord. It means you don't take advantage of your boss or your company, but you have integrity and you live your life in that way. It changes your perspective. Your coworkers, no matter how bothersome they are or how much they bother you or whether you like them or not, you see them and you love them and you care for them and you pray for them. When you go to Walmart, right? God, help us all, right? We might have to get on our knees and walk. I mean, but you go and you're in fellowship with Christ, and he's empowering you. And so therefore, when someone cuts you off with their cart, you know, you're not bothered by that because you know that they're not your enemy, right? And so you live your life. Everything that we do, what we say when we're at home with our spouse, we're in fellowship with Christ. Lord, how do you want me to love her today? With your kids, Lord, how do I be that example to point them to you? Lord, you've given us this mission to make disciples of all nations. I'm in fellowship with you. I don't know what that looks like, but I'll be obedient. So I get involved in making disciples. If you're not currently, that's the mission that he's given you. Make disciples. Get involved in that. Give your life to making disciples. That's what he's called us to. Not a bunch of rules, rituals, or regulation. It's fellowship. It's relationship with God. And that's why no matter what you do vocationally, every day, it's Jesus ministry. Today when I get up, it's Jesus ministry. If you gave money to through the church today, it's to Jesus ministry. If you point your kids to be involved in ministry. You send them to school each day. You're sending them to go in Jesus' ministry, to be a missionary to their school. I want to challenge you to see your job as your mission field. I'm a missionary to my job. Sometimes some of your jobs are connected to places overseas or someone that has maybe come here from overseas. Look, you're a missionary there. See yourselves as that. So in the way of application, couple of questions. Do you have a relationship with God? As we've talked about relationship and fellowship, you cannot have fellowship without relationship. But you can have relationship without fellowship. And so my question is, do you have a relationship with God? Or do you have this fellowship? Have you trusted in what Christ has done that, listen, I want you to know, regardless of what you've done in life, regardless of where life has taken you or what's happened, I want you to know we have a God who loves you. And as I told you a while ago, he loves you just as much as he loves anyone else in this room. No matter what you've done, you don't have to clean yourself up. I'm not asking if you're a good person or done good things or even repeated some prayer after someone or been baptized. I'm asking, do you know Jesus? Do you have a relationship with him? Are you in close contact and fellowship with him? If not, that is good news. The good news is he loves you and has made a way for you to be forgiven of your sin, has made a way for you to be able to know him and walk with him, be led by him. And he is trustworthy. He is faithful. He leads and guides us, helps us to have joy of life and abundance in him. And you can know him today. He tells us that if we would believe that he sent Jesus to die on the cross, to be raised from the dead, victorious over sin and death, that he paid our debt that we deserve, the wages of sin is death. Jesus died for you and for me. If we would put our belief in him, we can be forgiven, we can be set free, we can be made new. We can know him, we can have fellowship with him, we can walk with him. He'll empower us. He'll give us courage. He'll give us strength. He'll lead us to fulfill the mission he's given us. Oh, do you see the blessings that come, the love that he has for us? And then my second question is if you've already trusted in him, you know him, but maybe your fellowship has been hindered, how is your fellowship? Maybe today you need to plan and protect time that you're going to spend with him. Listen, he's still there. He still loves you. He's still pursuing you. But it will not happen by accident. We don't just wake up one day and, man, I'm really close to God today. No, it is by you pursuing. If you seek, you will find. Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto you. If you would seek him, you can know him, grow closer to him, have faith in him. You'll have a boldness and a courage that only comes through the power of the Spirit. And so I don't know what you've let creep in, but if you are don't look much different than the world, then all you have done is you have conformed and allow your life to be conformed to the pattern of this world. You're pursuing the same things as your unbelieving friends. You're wanting health and wealth and prosperity, you're chasing after all the things and toys you can have in this world, you're running after whatever the good life would look like. Listen, I want you to know, we have a home and it's not here. He has called us to be residents of a kingdom. Listen, there are great things that he wants us to partake in this world, and they are good. He gives them as gifts for us. It is a life that he has called us to, but our life, our walk, the way we live our lives will look much different than the world. Our hope will be in him. No matter what trials, no matter what struggles come, we have a God who is with us. This is the encouragement that he gives. I will be with you to the end of the age. Oh, we have a God who has called you and allowed us to be a part of what he's doing. Will you trust him today? Will you pursue him? As we think about whether I know him or how my fellowship is, I want to challenge you just to ask some questions of yourself. If you've trusted in him, then how is your fellowship? How are you? How's your time with him? Are you diving, seeking to understand his word? Are you putting faith in the commands that he has given us? Do you trust him? Do you know him? If you're here today and you would say, you know what? You talk about this fellowship, but I just feel like it's all kind of hocus pocus stuff. I feel like I don't know him at all. I believe that there's a God, there has to be, who's created all this, but man, I don't know that I fully understand all of it. And just as I told the gentleman of my house, I'll tell you, God speaks to us. And when he speaks to us, he draws us. He helps us to see a need for him in our lives. And I want to tell you that he loves you. He has a plan for you. And you can know him today. Let's bow before him. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray, Father, that in this time that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, if there's someone here that has not yet trusted and surrendered their lives to you, I pray that right now you would give them a courage, a joy that, Lord, you speak to them in such a way that they can't doubt it. That right now that you would show them and Lord, help them to have courage to call out to you in this moment. They'd realize what they've done against you and they'd call to you. And that, Lord, that you would come, renew their life, transform their life. Lord, I pray for others, maybe in this room, who no doubt know you, they've been changed by you, but Lord, for whatever reason, they've allowed many things to come in and distract or to hinder. Maybe sin that they've even allowed to creep in. I pray that right now you would show them those things. Show us, show me the things that hinder. Help me to be willing in this moment to be cut to the heart of the things that I've allowed to come before God Almighty. That in repentance I would bow before you and cry out for forgiveness, power to overcome, and that, Lord, that I would seek to bring you glory, that I would seek to have knowledge of you and walk with you, that I would seek, Lord, to live in holiness as you did. So, Lord, I pray that my walk would look a lot like Jesus's. God, lead us in this time. Help us to follow you, to trust you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.